Diego. All right, what's goody? Welcome back to the podcast. We're back again. Welcome to Basement Sports, your every Saturday recap of what's going down in the sports world and Woods Cross High School basketball. I hope we are all having a good day today. I personally am. I'm having a pretty good day. Been productive so far. Let's just jump straight into it. Last thing I ate, it was some really good cheese last night. I came home last night and had some good cheese. If my voice sounds a little dead, it's because it is, because I was at the Woods Cross game and I decided to sit in the student section, because usually when I go to the games, I don't sit there. I usually kind of just sit far off by myself. Just kind of sideline taking notes. But, you know, I decided, hey, I drove all this way. I want to sit in the student section, which, again, it consisted of the Woods Cross sophomore and JV team. But still, it's really fun. I know all of them. We're all close. We're all homies. It's fun. But, Woods Cross, they had a game last night against Box Elders about an hour away. It's in Brigham City, Utah. I went to that. I drove up there, fixed my car for that. But, Woods Cross went into this game 9-3. Box Elder 7-3. Box Elder went into this game very, like, they weren't necessarily bad by any means, but they were a good team. They went into this game 7-4. But, so Woods Cross 9-3, Box Elder 7-4. It's the first region game. Region started last night for Woods Cross and Box Elder. And boy, oh boy, was this a fun game to watch. If you like defense, you would have loved this game. If you liked offense, sorry, but no. You would have liked the first half. But this game was very tight throughout. Like, the biggest lead Woods Cross had at one point was 5. That was it. And the biggest lead Box Elder had was 6, and that was at the beginning of the game. So, pregame, when I went into looking at this, is to see again how Jackson Smith will respond shooting-wise, because he had a really nice game against American Fork with 18, but he only shot 38% from the field, which isn't bad by any means, but we need him to shoot more efficient from the field. If he's taking low shots, he needs to make more, therefore his scoring should go up. But 18, again, that is not bad at all. Do not get me wrong. If you score 18 in a game, good job. But Woods Cross was going into a nice win against American Fork last week. They were 9-3 going into first region play against Box Elder at Box Elder. And one thing I noticed was, so a couple of my friends who are on the team, they have cousins who went to Box Elder, and they texted them before the game. It was like, are you guys ready for the big game? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, we've had this game circled. You know, it's a big rivalry. Box Elder thinks that Woods Cross is a rivalry. We're not a rival. All right. If I have anyone who goes to Box Elder listening to this podcast right now, hear me right now. We are not your rival. If we have to travel 1 hour and our student section doesn't really make it because it's that far, what does that tell you about how we think of you? I mean, yes, we always play close games. I mean, in the playoffs, Mason dropped 40 on you and we won. And when it was at home last year, Jackson Smith hit a buzzer beater in quadruple overtime. Yes, but this is not a rivalry. We don't. Why are you even in our region, to be honest? Like, you are an hour away from everyone else. Like, even from Bonneville and Northridge, you are still 30, 45 minutes away from them. Our region, excluding you, is all 20-ish minutes away, 20, 15-ish minutes away from each other. So why are you considering us your rival? We didn't do anything to you. I mean, we just beat you. We beat everyone last year. So we're not your rival. But a first region game against, according to Box Elder, a rivalry game, so to say, it's not. But then Box Elder was coming off a good win against Logan. They were 7-4 going into their first region game against us. And in their warm-ups, oh my goodness, they looked world, they looked insane. They looked like they were the best team in the state, but this is just warm up. So again, I don't know. This could just be me, but I don't know. But they looked all very athletic. They were really good shooting. They all had the ability to dunk with ease. And I'm going to say this right now about Box Elder student section. They were really cool. They had an ESPN table. And then, you know, like jazz games, like basketball games, where like they have like the noodles, like the plastic noodles that they bang together and it makes noise. They had those. Like, how did you get these? Can you share? I would like some. And they had an ESPN table. I think it was the theme was like ESPN out or something. I don't know. But that gave me an idea. Now I'm just going to start bringing a table. And I can just do it on my laptop instead of having to type it out on my notes. Like type out all the game notes and stuff. But Woods Cross, they had the same five. And when they were announcing their starting lineups, Box Elders, they reminded me a lot of last year. Like they had a couple senior bigs, but then they were also just really young. Like they had a lot of juniors. In their starting five. And last year, we were all juniors except for our big men. So, I don't know. One thing I started to notice was how Mason has started to do the jump balls recently. Like, he did it last week against American Fork. And he did it again last night. And so, I don't know if that's just because he jumps really high because he's athletically more dominant than most people on the floor. Or if it's because Cade doesn't want to. It was our same five. But Mason, he missed his first shot, but then traveled, which was really bad. But then it kind of, like that first quarter was really interesting. Jackson, missed, his first three, but then Cade got the putback. And then we found out who their best player's name was via Max Preps, and his name is Elijah. He looks pretty goofy, but we got to clown on him a lot. He shot 1 for 14 in the game. He wasn't very good today, but he missed. And then Jackson Smith made a three. He was at 1 for 2 at that point. And then Box Elder, we kind of went on a bad stretch for a minute. We turned the ball over a couple times and bad calls. These refs were terrible. Not going to lie. These refs were not good at all. But then Jackson hit another three. He had 6 points. It was deep. And he was 6 of 3, and then he missed again. And it was 2 for 4. And so I don't know. Like, we were not very good. Jackson missed again. He's 2 for 5. And then with 10 seconds left, Hunter went in. Mason went out. Jackson missed. He was 2 for 6 with 6 points at the end of one. We were only down 4. It was 14-10. So offensively, we were looking very stagnant, like not doing anything. We didn't shoot well at all. Like, no one really scored for us because Jackson looked better with those two threes. You know, he was shooting 2 for 6, which isn't necessarily the greatest. But, I mean, our other 2 points were from a soup layup and a Cade putback. Our other four. So, it was 14-10 after one, and the defense, I mean, it looked good, but it didn't look great. You know, 14 points, that's a reasonable amount to give up in a quarter. Quarter two started, and we forced a jump ball immediately, and it was our ball, and then Jackson hit a three. Great for him, 3 for 7, he's up to 9. And then he turned it over. And then AB got a bucket, and then AB got more D, good D, pause, and Hunter Jackson, he cut really well. One thing I noticed is that we know how to cut very, very well, like offensively. But then we kind of just played the game, you know, like Mason scored his first points in this second quarter. Like, that's kind of bad. But we called a timeout 48 seconds, so it was tied at 24. Jackson missed and he had 11 at that point. And then Mason hit his signature fade wherever he's on the floor and got. So he's up to 4. And AB had great rim defense towards the end to block a buzzer beating. Not block, but like make it extremely difficult for a buzzer beating shot. And at the end of 2, we were up 26-24. So the offense got better and the defense got better in that quarter. We scored 16 and we only allowed 10. So Jackson was shooting 40%, which is pretty good. He was shooting really good, you know, for what he's been shooting. So I'm not mad at that. He scored 11 points. So that's pretty good. Mason started slow, but he got a quick 4 towards the end. And Alex, he looked pretty good on just both sides of the ball. He hit a three, pretty big three for us. Like, how are we going to come out? That's what I was wondering. Like, how are we going to come out of half? Like, are we going to get one of those Woods Cross big third quarters? I'm going to tell you this. We're not going to get one of those. We wouldn't get one of those Woods Cross big third quarters. Oh, my goodness. It was so slow. That third quarter was so boring, except with 2:55 left. Brody came in. Oh my goodness. Brody made the difference in that point. I believe at that point we were trailing. They clawed their way back. But, oh my. Brody, you monster. Monster, monster, monster. He would hustle. He looked like he was the best player on the field. On the court. Jackson Smith, I mean, he drove. He got to 5-11. He had 13. But that was about it for him in that quarter. And Mason had a nice block. Mason drove and Fowley split him. He had 5. There was a bad call. And yeah, AB got a block. Jackson turned it over. Brody came at the 2:55 mark. And then we just turned it over. And then Mason, again, cuts. We are a very good cutting team. And he had 7 at that point. Jackson missed. He's 6 for 12. And then Mason missed twice, but then Brody, with really, really, really good hustle, got it back to Mason, and he laid it in on a scramble. It was insane. But the whole bench and our student section of like 15 people went crazy when Brody checked in. And then when he was dominant on the floor, we were even more crazy. And yeah, I mean, at the end of three, we were up 33-30. So again, it wasn't very high scoring at all. Like, it was 26-24. So we scored not a lot of points. We scored 7 points in that. And we allowed 6. So I don't know, like, what is up. Like, that, we did not have a big third quarter. We still kept the lead, which is good. But in the fourth was even more hectic. Oh boy. That was a fun quarter to be. Brody finally checked out at the 4:59 mark. He was still really, really good. Lots of defense in this one. Mason traveled, but he didn't travel. It was a really bad call. And then Woods Cross timeout with 5:50 left. And Cade got a layup. And then we turned it over. Box Elder got it. And then we turned it over again. And then Alex checked out. And Soup came in with 4:03 left. Box Elder got the and one. They converted it. Mason missed. Box Elder turned it over. And then AB went in. HJ went out with 2:54. Soup hit the three. The bench went crazy. And Woods Cross was back on top. And we missed. They missed. They called a timeout with 1:17. And we were up at this point 40-39. Box Elder made it. But Jackson drove, got fouled, and won. And we were up, again, we were up at that point. Like, it was 41-40, and one, it's now 43-41. And then Mason jumped literally on this guy's back and fouled him. He split it. Box Alder fouled on the rebound. They got the rebound back and got fouled. And now he hit both of them. Elijah hit both. Elijah was clutch at this point. We were down 1. We called timeout with 30 seconds left. We were down 44-43. AB, clutchless layup ever. With 15 seconds left, he lays it up reverse side off a cut. 45-44. And that would end up being the game-winning bucket. But then with 14.5 seconds left, they called the timeout. And they gave it to Elijah. And it was 1-on-1. Elijah versus Mason. The two best players on the floor. And Mason blocked the shot at the buzzer. Woods Cross ended up winning, of course, 45-41. And Jackson shot better. 6 of 12. He had 16. And Mason only had really 11 points. But his defense throughout the whole game was really good. And AB was really good on both sides. Just a couple bad turnovers here and there. But then Brody was insane in his couple minutes. I was able to catch up with Mason Bendinger after the game. Take a quick listen to that.
I'm here with Mason Bendinger. Mason, offensively, you weren't having the greatest game. You didn't shoot too well. You had 11 points. But defensively, at the end, you came in clutch. How do you get yourself to get back on defense when you're not shooting well?
Just the mentality. Just have to, you know, play through the bad night. Even though you're having a bad night, you got to pick it up on the defensive end, because ultimately that's what's going to help us win the game. And that's what came down to it, is the defense at the end of the game. We were able to get a clutch stop and win the game today.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, for sure.
That was my conversation with Mason. It was just one question. It was really quick. I wasn't able to get anyone else because they had to go. They were a little bit late getting out of the locker room for obvious reasons. I mean, it was a game-winning situation, so they probably stayed in there a little bit longer. But, yeah, only able to get one interview, which I'm not too mad about. I mean, it was the game winner, so they had to go because it's a long bus ride, so they had to get going. So I only got one interview, but that's okay. Looking ahead for Woods Cross, what they have on their schedule next is on Wednesday. This, my friends, is a true rivalry game. Not no little box Elder Woods Cross, which isn't a rivalry game, which I've said for like the 10th time, but I don't care. I'm still going to press it in. True rivalry game here. Wednesday, January 18th at 7 p.m. at Woods Cross. Against Bountiful. That is a true rivalry. And then on Friday the 20th against Northridge at home. So just looking ahead at both of those games, Bountiful is a very, very mid team. They beat Viewmont last night 64-53. And they're 5-7. They're 1-0 in region. And they lost to the RSL Academy, the Real Salt Lake. They lost to a soccer school. And yes, that may sound really bad, but actually no. Real Salt Lake is a very, 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 very good team. Bountiful scores a lot of points. They just score. That's what they're good at. But their defense is not very good. Yeah, we are 9th in Utah, 4th in our 5A class. We are very, very, very good. We got a game again Wednesday. It's at home, so you should all definitely show up, because that would be very, very fun if you guys all showed up. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah. But their best player is Carson Smith. Ours is Mason. Carson leads their team in rebounding, points, and blocks. A little bit about him. Obviously, he goes to Bountiful. The funny thing is, we know a lot of these people, and he is a junior. Carson Smith is a junior. Jeez, he's ranked 62nd in the state. So he's not necessarily bad, but he's good. I'm saying it right now. He's very good. Sam Stevenson leads their team in assists and steals. And obviously for us, Mason leads in points and Alex in boards, Jackson in assists, Alex again in steals, and Kate in blocks. Mason, what's his state ranking? He is number 9 in the state. Oh my goodness. Mason Bendinger is on our team. He's number 9 in the state. He is very good. Okay. Yeah. But again, just looking at it, we are supposed to win this game. Like, we should not lose. Their defense is terrible. And we're going to win this game. I'm saying it right now. They are 5-7, and we are 10-3 and at home. Oh, yeah. Another thing I noticed is we are very, very good on the road. We are 6-0 on the road. We've only lost once at home. It was to Alta, which is, again, it's a reasonable loss, but I don't know. Like, we're good on the road. We're good at home. Our only two other losses are at neutral sites, so we should win this game. And then going up against Northridge on Friday the 20th, again at home, we should all definitely, if you're like in the Bountiful Woods Cross area, Salt Lake area, definitely come to this game. It'll be a fun game again. But Northridge, they're pretty good. They're 5-7, like Bountiful, so they score not a lot. They're good on defense. That's what I can say. But this game against in like 6 days. Their leading scorer is Bentley Weinhart, who scores 12, and then Daquone Kennedy with 6 rebounds, Cade Christensen with 2.7 assists, Bentley Weinhart with 2 steals, and Daquone Kennedy with 0.8 blocks. And then same thing for us, obviously. Again, we should win this game. They lost their region game. Who did they lose to? They lost last night. Who did y'all lose to? They lost to Bonneville, 52-47. Okay. But Woods Cross, they should win both of these games, and they should, coming into next episode, they should be 12-3. Sorry, they should be really good right now. But if we're going to lose one of these, I have no idea who we're going to lose to. If it's Bountiful, I'm going to be pissed because I hate Bountiful like every other Woods Cross student. So if we're going to lose one, I hope it's to Northridge, but that's okay. We'll be okay. We'll be fine. Jumping real quick from high school basketball to professional basketball, the Jazz, they went on a little bit of a winning streak, kind of. I think we're on a 2-game winning streak since we last met. And again, not good, but you know, we're still not too good, but we're not bad. We're second in our division. We're 22-23. Again, not very good, but here we are. Last time I was with y'all, I believe we were going up against Houston, which we won. Let me check to be sure. But overall, though, Utah is very interesting. Yeah, it was against the Bulls. They just beat Houston. They were going up against the Bulls that night, and they lost 126-118. And then we lost to the Grizzlies, 123-118. We score a lot of points. 118 points, that's a lot of points. And then we played Cleveland. I went to that game, Donovan Mitchell's return. Donovan Mitchell cooked us, but we still won 116-114. Should have been 111-116, but Mitchell hit a buzzer-beating fadeaway corner three, which made me miss him extremely. But he scored 46 on our domes, and it hurt a lot, shooting 14 of 27 and 11 of 11 from the line. Like, this guy is very good, and I miss him a lot. And then last night, I could have gone to this game, but I didn't. The Jazz beat the Magic 112-108. Lowry Markkanen had 28 points, 12 rebounds, and Colin Sexton had 3 assists. Franz Wagner was their leading scorer with 26. What I've heard in this game was it was just a regular Jazz game. You know, like, our defense wasn't too great, but it was good enough to win. We play tonight at 7 p.m. against the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't think we're going to win this game just because Joel Embiid is that good. I don't know what the line is for this game. Let me see. The line is Philadelphia -5. Yep, Philly -5. They're only missing Tobias Harris. That's fun. We're not going to win this game. I'm saying it right now. If we win this game, I'll be very surprised, and you will be able to all rub it in my face. But we're not winning this game, and I'm saying that right now. Let's go. College football again. There's Georgia won. Georgia easily won the CFP national title. It was like 65-7. I turned it off after halftime, frankly. Georgia's probably going to be number one again next year in the AP poll, and favorite to win it. Utah, I saw the lines. It was like Utah plus something to win the national championship again next year. Let me find it. I'm pulling it up right now. But Utah, they are going into next year with not a whole lot of... I mean, Cam's coming back. Oh, yeah. Cam, Keithy, and Vele are all coming back, which is great. Hold up. I'm finding it. But Cam, Keithy, Kincaid are all coming back. Utah's plus 4,000 to win. Okay, so that's pretty good. That's top in the nation. Oh, real quick, going back to the Jazz for a second. Delta Center's coming back. Vivint's getting renamed to the Delta Center, back from what it was a while ago, back in like the 90s and stuff, and frankly, forever. And I'm excited for it. Vivint was nice, but Delta Center's better. Back again to Utah. Sorry about that tangent. But we have We have a lot of returners. We're losing Clark Phillips, who's going to be obviously a really big loss. Tavion's obviously gone. Mekhi Bernard entered the transfer portal, which kind of sucks, but we'll be fine. In the running back room, we have Jaquan Jackson, Jalen Glover, and we just got this four-star recruit. Defensively, again, recruiting this year, we were really, really good. We got a lot of four-star recruits. We got Smith Snowden, who's insanely good. But, yeah, we should be really good this year. To the NFL playoffs. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Playoff season. It starts tonight, I believe, is the first game of the playoffs. And I am very much excited because the playoffs are a very fun time. I love the NFL playoffs. Yes, tonight, Fox at 2:30 p.m. So very soon. Seahawks versus Niners. San Francisco's favored, -9.5. And then on NBC at 6:15, Chargers, Jaguars. Let's go, Jaguars. I want the Jaguars and I want the Seahawks. I want the Jaguars to make it to the divisional round. Yeah. I'm like dead serious, though. And then Sunday on. Okay, sorry, hold on. Sunday on NBC, on CBS at 11 a.m., Dolphins, Bills. Buffalo's favored -13.5. And then on NBC Sunday night, we have Ravens, Bengals. And Cincinnati is favored by 8.5. And then Monday night, Dallas Buccaneers in Tampa. Really weird. Dallas is favored -2.5. And then other games we got going on Sunday at 2:30, Fox, Chargers, Vikings, Giants, Vikings, go Vikings, skull. Vikings are favored -3. I think they're going to win that one pretty easily. Yeah. That's about it. I'm definitely going to want to watch that Seahawks game. And I want to watch the Chargers game. I'll probably watch both games today. But, yeah. Playoffs is going to be very fun. My Super Bowl pick as an unbiased NFL fan is the Chiefs. And my Super Bowl pick as the most biased Vikings fan of all time is the Vikings. I think the Vikings are going to sweep the table. They're going to win every game by 50. But no, I think it's going to be Chiefs against Eagles. Chiefs-Eagles is what I'm saying. The championship games will be Eagles and Vikings and Chiefs and Bills played in Atlanta because of the whole DeMar Hamlin situation. He's actually out of the hospital. Saw that earlier this week. But he's out of the hospital. He's doing great. But because of that whole game getting canceled, if those two teams play, it's going to be in a neutral site. My guess, it's probably going to be in Atlanta just because that's an even away. It's an indoor stadium. It's a really nice stadium. Yeah. So I think it'll be Chiefs versus Eagles, and Chiefs win. And Eagles in the championship games are Chiefs Bills in Mercedes-Benz and Eagles Vikings in whatever stadium, TD Bank Field, I believe is what it is. Yeah, I'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening once again, and I'll catch up with you guys with a really big episode, lots of interviews next Saturday. Peace.